Welcome to the Meltdown Pinball Podcast, Episode 4. Steve Bouton here, Nikki the Lasagna is over there, and we are back again for another episode of this silliness where we just came from. Where did we come from? Rock Fantasy at Middletown, New York, right? Rock Fantasy, when's the last time you've been there, Nikki?
Probably 3-4 years ago.
Right, so this has been your first trip here in three,
it's
4 years.
It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. So anything different since, you
it's
know,
it's been
sure,
a long
sure
time.
There's a lot of difference, right? There's a lot of difference from the last time you've been there, I would suppose.
And I want to say, I have my entire forearm tattooed as the Bride of Pinbot, and that was definitely my recognition towards Bride of Pinbot, because I got my name up on my initials. Thank God. She is a good girl.
So you're saying
billionaire club.
You're right. That's what I'm going to ask you. You're saying because you got a billionaire club, that's what inspired you, really, is getting that. And you said, I think I remember you telling me you didn't realize you had done the billionaires club until someone told you to put your initials on.
I didn't actually. Someone had to tell me, like, put your name up. And I'd walked away. And someone's like, get your name up. You have to do this. And I put my name up as Ned, of course.
Right.
And I now have a full forearm tattoo of Bride of Pinbot. Rock Fantasy is one of the perfect machines, as well as Atlantis, which Steven does not have anymore. But...
And by the Steven we're referring to is Steven Keeler. That's Steven Keeler. So, you know, because I'm Steve too. So I'm going to make sure we separate that. It's Steven Keeler, who is the owner and proprietor of Rock Fantasy. Make sure you go there, 75 West Main Street, Middletown, New York. For a very good, very well kept pinball shop, and other paraphernalia, we'll say. the pinball's great up there. The competition is good up there. You know, the games are great. He's got an Iron Maiden up there, which was the reason for the launch party that they had recently that we all took our trip to.
Fantastic.
Right. So, you know, so just a general question. Did you have fun at the launch party, Nikki?
You're insane if you even asked that question. It was fucking fantastic.
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course. So, I mean, you know, sure, we had our competitions. We had our two competitions, really. We had our match play, and then we had the launch party format.
First of all, I have to interrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
You got first place.
I did do that. Yeah, I did get first. I had a good run.
Team Guritama!
Yes, Team Guritama for the win. So, I mean, I had a good run even after the first game, which we got put on Rob Zombie, unfortunately. Both of us got put on Rob Zombie.
Yeah, we did.
Wow. And we were struggling on that game. I finished first. Yeah, you finished second. I finished first in that game. You finished second on that game. And we were just fumbling around trying to find the points on it.
Still. Just, I did bad in most games. But you got first. I got second.
I did pretty well. I got first in
most
of the rounds.
It was a rough strike.
Yeah, it was rough. But, you know, I had to hold off Anthony Jr., man. Anthony Lampos Jr. is a serious player. And he was on...
I think I played Ron Hallett at least 3-4 times. I think he beat me like 3-4 times, but still I came in the middle, so
right. Which is
but
awesome,
because
that means you didn't finish last in every game. So you know, just rate your performance.
True.
Rate your performance. Do you feel good about how you played?
Oh no, I'm not worried about it. You first of all, team Goditama, you got first.
Yep. I got paid. Got my translate. I got to be Eddie for a little bit at the end.
It's cool. Not even about that. It's not even about that. It's just about going through and following through. And listen, after 4 hours, I was done. You can ask Joe Cherubino. You can ask him. I was like, I want nothing to do with pinball ever again. I want nothing to do with match play again. I was like, I was done. And the perseverance, man, that's insane.
You know, like, part of it is just the length of time between rounds sometimes can get to you. I know I hadn't eaten since, so I mean, I was kind of struggling. I don't know how.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So
I started to drift at the end. I mean, I was pretty okay until like the second to last round, and I started making clear mistakes simply because I was hungry, and so I just hadn't eaten.
Yeah. You have no idea. I was just like, I was screaming at Joe. I was like, I want nothing to do with pinball ever again. I was like, I don't care about the podcast anymore. I don't care about going to Pinburg. I don't care about going to anywhere. Mm-hmm. I just want this match play to be over. 7 hours is too much. No. Too much for me. And, like, congratulations to every single one of you who can keep doing that. That is a absolutely, I don't even know what to say to you guys. Like, that's too much for me. That's way too much for me.
Well, if 7 hours, I mean, we're comparing that to, say, Pinburg, which is 2 days. But Pinburg is 2 days.
7 hours. Pinburg is 2 days. I know. And I've had offers for people. It's only $30 to pay for the women's championship. And I was like, yeah, I'll totally do that. And I was like, after 4 hours, I was like, I want nothing to do with this. I want nothing to do with this. I want nothing to do with pinball ever again. And I love pinball. It's my heart and soul.
So let's investigate this more. Is it the time between rounds that's the problem, or is it the amount of time in total?
I think it's the time between. It's a little bit of both. It's the time between rounds. First of all, Pinbury is 4 days. You can do Pinburg and enjoy other things, but with the women's round, I've never done it, so who fucking knows?
Well, the women's round is only the 1 day, though. It's only on the Sunday. So you can do that.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know that. I've never done it. I didn't want to do it.
This is the first time they're doing it in Pinburg. So, yeah, you could do the Intergalactic, do everything else before then, and then also do the Women's Championship.
Is it gonna be like Rock Fantasy where I have to do 7 hours again? Because I'm not into that.
See, the reason why, part of the reason why I think Rock Fantasy might have been a thing is because some teams were playing Iron Maiden, and Iron Maiden can take a long time to finish, so you have to wait for everybody to finish their round first. So while you're waiting, you just do other things, and then they call you in for the next round. Now, the games at Pinburg are probably going to be tougher, so depending on how, I mean, they're really good at following time and make sure everything sort of finishes within time, within the schedule, so you can kind of know when the next round's going to start. So you'll kind of know that before you start. You'll know that this round is going to take an hour and a half or whatever. And then, so if your round ends finishes early, you can go do something else and then come back. I mean, that's
Yeah, that's true. However, I don't know. I just think that I would rather take my time doing other things. And for those people who want to do the women's match, that's perfectly fine. But I'd rather play the cube game. I would.
Which game?
The cube game.
Oh, the cube game, Cubeat. Oh, Cubeat. Like okay, like the one I have at my local arcade. Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Cubeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna have a lot of those. Yeah, they had a lot of those. Actually, you know where else they have a lot of those at? Is Magfest. So if you ever go to Magfest, you'll be straight with that because they'll have like 10 of them. But we'll see if they have that there at Replay FX. They may have that there. I mean, they're gonna have a lot of games there from everywhere, including all the pinball games ever, and then like all the consoles ever are gonna be there. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure everybody's gonna be doing other things.
I think Pinburg is gonna be great, and it's great that younger kids are getting into, like, they are really fucking whooping our asses. I mean, it's sad, but at the same time.
It's not sad at
all. They are.
It's not sad at all. They're growing up with it, so they know. They already know the techniques.
Yeah,
when they
their
get started.
Dads, their moms are teaching them how to fucking play pinball, and that's fucking amazing. By the way, yeah. I have not had one sip of alcohol this entire time, and
you're coherent. We can't break the rules of podcasting. It's very important that we stay within.
The rules. By whom?
We have to follow Christopher Franchi's 7 rules. It's very important.
Exactly.
Very important that we do that. Otherwise, you know, it's not good. So
here's the thing with pinball. You meet so many people that you don't know that you will never, ever, ever fucking meet. And it will be the best fucking possible thing in your life. There are very few people in your life that you are going to meet that are pinball community and that you are going to genuinely get along with and genuinely have a relationship with.
So let's see. I'm just making sure I go through the rules and make sure that we broke all of them. I'm thinking, let's see.
Wants to break every single one.
Yeah, we're already drunk, so that's rule number one. Well, we were drunk in the first episode, so we actually broke the rule before these rules came out, I think. It's pretty close.
Yes.
Right? And then
yes.
We have to, so rule number two is don't spend half the show going over how was your week. So we make sure to do that, right? We make sure to go over the week that we were at Rock Fantasy. Right, so we got that done.
Yeah, we went over the week.
Right, so that's good. So we're 2 for 2. Okay, rule number three, we would never break anyway. Rule number three is don't alienate people from your show.
You totally alienated me.
Steve here. We got Greg Paparelli here. Paparelli.
What's going on?
What's up? All right, so just in case you don't notice the meltdown episode, I don't know what this is by the time this comes out, but all right, we're at IFPA Championships, right? And we have an issue we need to discuss, right? That we learned some further information on. So I'll like pass the floor to General Paparelli over here, who will describe what's going on. What do you have to discuss here for us today?
So there's obviously a lot of great games today, the first day of IFPA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got 2 rounds left. Everything's about to pan out. And Butterfly seemed to be played a lot. And I was watching a bunch of it because I don't have much experience in that game. And there was a situation where the left sling was firing. And it happened to a couple different people where they had to turn the game off. And I was watching Daniele play it. And that had happened for a second time. They turned the game off. And they turned the game back on. I expected he was going to get compensation balls. Lo and behold, it's ball 4. His score is there, and he's ready to play.
So remember the state.
And I was kind of shocked, and everybody else was kind of shocked. Like, everybody was just like, what just happened? Because that's exactly how it should work, but it never does, right?
Right. You always lose your state when you power off the game.
Yeah, and it's a shit show for everybody.
Right.
You lose advantages, or you gain advantages, and the tournament director can't do anything.
Right.
Nobody's in a situation to do anything other than just say, fuck.
Right. You can't recreate state. You just have to do something that screws the player.
But something as simple as, how old is that game? Stern Butterfly. I don't know.
Yeah, it's old. It's an EM. Yeah. So there you go.
At the end of the day, I'm thinking, both as a player and as a director, it would be sweet to have that ability to turn a game off and turn a game on when there's an issue and not lose game state.
Right.
And if it was possible then, it should be possible now.
Right. Considering it's the current year, right? I mean, we have we have the technology, we have the ability. So, what is preventing us from, having a situation where we can retain state with a game? I mean, because how would it help tournament directors out, really? Because you're a tournament director of many tournaments a year, a month, right? So I mean, how would it help you out
practically? One of the worst things you ever have to do is turn a game off, right? And it's pretty rare. It's not something that you do often, but considering that if you had no choice in a situation like what happened there where the sling was firing and for the sake of the game to not burn out something, turn it off in an immediate situation, usually you would lose everything, right?
Right, you're done. Yeah,
but it's possible to recreate that. So,
if you can do that for multiple players, I mean, if we're assuming we're talking about a single player state for an EM game,
and now this is thinking modern games,
Modern games. If we could be able to turn it off, fix the problem, and then turn it back on, and have this at least the state return to where it is, how that would help. At least TDs out to screw players less.
The chances that you actually need that to actually be the case, where you're depending on something like that, is not that often.
Right.
But having it in your back pocket would be sweet. Because nobody wants to go, it's... I saw it happen to Levy on Monaco tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Levy was in a situation where he really needed a strong game.
Mm-hmm.
He walks up to Monaco. He was on ball 3 out of 5. He was playing well. He was at already at 400,000 or 500,000. He was making progress. Game resets.
Right.
Everybody asked for a ruling just to confirm that it wasn't his fault. Josh and Zach talk about it. They go to Becker, and everybody realizes, it's just game reset. They have to look at it, whatever. And in that situation, as a director, just that's pinball. You're
right.
Fucked.
It becomes a good game. Pinball.
And he ended up getting a last.
Right.
But he was having a good game. And, there's nothing you can do. It was you're fucked. But
if there was some way to at least retain his progress at that point, to give him the best possible chance to keep his good progress in that game. Instead of having to totally screw him and have him start over, if there was some sort of memory, at least in some of the modern games that we have now, instead of having to, turn the game off, clear the whole state, and then when you turn it on, you're basically screwed. All right, so that's basically what we're talking about here, is that...
Well, even if it was just let's say you're a Stern or a Jersey Jack game or any modern game, spooky game, and there was an issue that was unexpected that could cause damage to the machine, coil burnout, whatever, in a tournament, and you think you have to turn the game off.
Right.
It sucks that you have to do that, but you have to value the machine and the operator's, asset over the tournament in the sense if there's any, turn the game off, now you can turn it back on, and player two is still there. Ball two.
Right.
That's a nice thing to have.
That's huge. Yeah, because then you're not worried about recreating state, which you can't do anyway. But especially if you're on a special case, like say a Dracula, which has the missed ball or something like that, some other or a game that has a special condition on the later balls, like a double bonus or something like that.
Yeah.
It just seemed like that there would need to be something available on the modern games with that feature that would really help tournament directors out to screw people less. I mean, because that's what we're, that's really what we're out to do. About. That's what it's all about.
You know what? Tonight, watching that match where Danielle was playing, when that happened, I think it wasn't just me, but a couple other people watching intently were all kind of surprised because it was just I never even imagine that was
because you saw it happen. You saw the state was retained on an EM game, and it's like, wait, what? What just happened? It's still here.
Should have been status quo.
Right.
Whoever figured that out, then it should should have been.
Yeah, yeah. If it's been figured out, I'm saying has it. I mean, I don't know, but if we could figure that out, that would really help I mean, if this that's what it's about. That's what, like what I said. It would really help screw people less, and that's what we're into, right? That's what I'm hoping to think about, right?
And so, you know, as it is now, IFPA still got 2 rounds left.
Right.
So much.
I said, this is by the way, this is the end of Friday, right?
Yeah, so tomorrow the stream starts with the finals, top 32.
Right. So when you're hearing this in the future,
we should talk about this, right?
Yeah.
What's the betting odds on the final result that qualifies you? Because usually 96.
It's 96 is the average.
Well, I think when I had 96, I was in an 8-way tiebreaker and I didn't make it. So it's not a guarantee.
So 96 was not the number. 98 was the number last year.
Every once in a while, it's higher. No, right.
Two years ago.
But the point is like your goal going into it is, all right, 98 is that minimum that you want or whatever it is.
Right.
But, you know.
Well, it depends on what the leader does. I mean, if the leader takes all the points, then it pushes the number down.
And it seemed like that was happening where it wasn't one specific person today,
mm-hmm.
but it was like 4 or 5 that were very consistent. I was looking at it the round before last, round 5.
Right.
The results came in and I tallied and realized that the 32nd place ties, because there was a couple of them.
Okay.
The 32nd place ties were all 1 point under average.
Okay.
So that means that there was some weight carried, and I looked at the top, but there was like a deadlock at the top two. So okay. It was just like top four.
So it was two people top, taking points.
No, it was four. It was like four people.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of stuff moved. And that's why I love this tournament. I think this tournament's really fun because stuff flip-flops from round to round really
exactly.
easily. And like if you think about it, the way that the points are distributed, when you go into the last round, there's going to be people above the line and below the line
right
into the last round, they're going to flip-flop.
That's the fight to
get in.
That's the fight.
You can actually strategically,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying it's the best strategy.
It's risky.
But it's a risky strategy, it could be something that works to qualify. Is if you're in a situation where you had a couple bad rounds and you're just below the cut line, it couldn't be actually good because all you have to do is pick up the 15.
On that one round. And then
if
you push ahead.
If you can get the 15 right. in the round where you were below the cut line.
Because not only do you push ahead,
you've
killed two others.
Last round
the
flip-flop always happens.
It, right.
Yeah. And it's brutal for everybody involved because it's so emotional. It's like
mm-hmm.
when you're below the line, you didn't expect it. When you're above the line, you didn't want it to happen.
You know?
It's like the choke. But really, it's just that's the way the tournament works.
Right.
Like, it's just that's how it is.
So
I've been on the wrong end of that 2 seasons in a row. This year I'm not playing, so I don't have to be heartbroken.
This is what I said. This year, Waffarelli's not even playing. So he's doing true journalism here, okay?
I needed one more no-show.
Right.
I'm happy
one
for
more.
Jeff Hillis because he's going to qualify, I hope,
right.
tomorrow. He's
mm-hmm.
playing great so far.
So this is true journalism here. See, this Waffarelli is here as an independent journalist. You know, covering this event. He's going to be in the commentator's booth. Right, we're going to have Buffalo Pinball tomorrow, I assume. So it's going to be awesome. So again, by the time you hear this, event will have been completed probably because I'd have to get home and post this. But anyway, we have to try to get some sleep in the next 4 hours.
It's a live account, but it'll be enjoyed.
Right. It'll be enjoyed after the fact. Yeah. So we're going to attempt to get some sleep in the next 3 hours in order to truck ourselves back over to Becker's place in Keswick, Ontario, Canada.
And it's a very impressive collection of games. I thanked Adam today because, you know, no matter what, when you have that many awesome playing games with so much diversity, like, you can tell that the collection is out of a player. Like, when you're looking at the older games, I was looking at them, I was like, they're all great games, like Solid States, all games that you can control and play.
Right, it's all the games you want to play, really. So,
So
he's definitely done a great job with his facility. I'm very happy that, you know, I've drove to be here and, you know, participate in this tournament just to experience a lot of the games that are here. And everything's playing really well. I mean, you know, I haven't had any complaints. Anything that's gone wrong has been my fault.
I was only allowed to play the practice games, but I watched a lot of pinball today.
Yeah.
And I made a point to, like, watch the games I didn't know that well, so I have a little bit more experience with them. And then, like, watch the games just for people playing awesome games. And the games were holding up.
Yeah, they really are.
And they seem to be playing fair,
mm-hmm.
but challenging at the same time,
right.
which is my favorite tournament.
Right, not ridiculous. Ridiculous, you know, not ridiculous punishing stuff, but anything that happens is more than likely your fault.
I always respect when the tournament's set really hard. I always respect when it's balanced hard. Like,
mm-hmm.
everybody's dealing with the same difficulty.
Right.
But I think it's a little bit more fun to have it, like, toned to a point where you're going to get punished for your misses. You're going to get punished for your bad plunges. You're going to get punished for your bad luck. But the games are playable. I like to see the modes of cheetah. I like to see the multi-balls gone. Like, there were some good scores of gone. Like, we saw Robert Gagne, 38 million on ball one and whirlwind.
Sick, right, yeah. We saw Eric Stone was 66 million on Funhouse. Sick.
Yeah, Raymond Davidson winning Spider-Man over Johannes 660 to 350 or something.
Third place was 160. They both basically
did everything you want to do on Spider-Man in right. a match play.
Like, right. Even like, with no rubbers on the outlays. Battle
Royale. Yeah. I got no through rubbers. All this
mode. Yeah, didn't matter. So anyway, that was us here. This is the Meltdown. Steve Bowden, FunWithBones.com. Greg Pavarelli, plug something. Yep. Plug something.
Sunshine Pinball League every Wednesday. You know where it's at.
There you go. Right. Sunshine Pinball League every Wednesday. Yeah, Sunshine Pinball League. Get out there. Get it done. That's it from us here. Peace. Yep.